Hi, I'm Sam Fuqua. Coming up after headlines, we hear from the state's chief medical officer about the new COVID variant found in Colorado. Also, new rules around oil and gas development are going into effect in January. Maeve Conran brings us a report that compares the approach to oil and gas regulation in Boulder County to its neighbor, Weld County. Also, our regular Thursday morning visit with food writer John Lendorf on Radio Nibbles. Today, John looks ahead to 2021. BBC headlines at 8:30, and then a live call-in hosted by KGNU's Joanne Cole and Liz Lane. They'll be talking about holiday memories. You know, we talk a lot about the very real challenges that the holiday season creates for many people, but there are also a lot of positive aspects of the holidays. Joanne and Liz, along with Boulder therapist Barry Erdman, will discuss the influence of the holiday season on our lives, and they'll be taking your calls. That goes through till 9:30, and of course, our day of eclectic music begins, as always, with the Morning Sound Alternative. All still ahead, all made possible by the listener members of KGNU, and you know, however you contribute to KGNU, we thank you for making everything we do possible here at listener-supported community radio. We'll be with you in 2021. Checking the state and local news now, Colorado is revising its vaccination plan to accelerate giving shots to more people over 70. In a press conference from Wednesday, Governor Jared Polis explained that expanding early vaccination of older Coloradans should have a big impact on the COVID death rate and lower hospitalizations.
We are really implementing the CDC guidance here in Colorado. Now, the CDC said 75 and up, but they also provided the discretion for states to dig into their own data. When we really dug down and found that 78% of the fatalities from COVID-19 were 70 and up, we wanted to target that larger group initially to reduce fatalities by 78%. And then we expanded the 65 and up group to 60 to 69. For that second prioritization in phase two, that represents close to half of the remaining fatalities. So you got the 78%, that leaves 22%. And then when we get the 60 to 69s, that's another 10%. You're still left with, of course, people that can die from coronavirus of all ages. We were reminded of that when a young 41-year-old congressman-elect from Louisiana tragically lost his life and left his wife and kids behind before being able to be sworn in. But certainly we wanted to focus our vaccine on where it could make the biggest difference in saving lives and ending the crisis part of the pandemic, which is around hospital capacity.
Governor Jared Polis speaking at a press conference yesterday. In addition to increased early vaccination of people in their 70s, the state is also prioritizing more healthcare staff, teachers, grocery store employees, and other essential workers. These folks are now part of what the state calls Phase 1B of the vaccination program. Phase 1A included healthcare workers who have direct contact with COVID patients, as well as high-risk individuals. It's not clear when all these people in Phase 1B will be vaccinated. Boulder County officials are still developing a vaccination plan, as we hear in this report from Steve Miller.
There were 99 new cases and 2 deaths reported in the county on Wednesday. The Daily Camera reports that Boulder County Public Health said that there will be more information about the county's vaccination plan next week. They will have to take into consideration that there are an estimated 20,000 to 30,000 people in Boulder County 70 years old or older. The county's 5 hospitals are nearly finished distributing the Phase 1 vaccine doses to high-risk staff members. In the discussion of opening up schools full-time, the county will take into consideration that data shows there's little risk of students 10 and under transmitting the virus to adults, but those same children are at high risk of decreased learning while learning remotely. For secondary students, the risk is higher of transmitting the virus. The health department continues to recommend a hybrid of online and in-person classes to reduce class sizes and allow for more social distancing. Residents can follow the health department for updates by signing up for news releases at bouldercounty.org. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
The state also announced relaxed rules for some counties that were at red level restrictions, including Boulder County and other metro area counties. In a social media post Wednesday, Governor Polis said he asked the Colorado Department of Public Health and the Environment to move counties that were in the red zone back into the orange zone starting next Monday. Polis cited the decline in COVID cases over the past 2 weeks. Orange-level restrictions include allowing gatherings of up to 10 people from two different households, as well as in-person dining at restaurants up to 25% of their capacity. But Polis emphasized that the looser restrictions do not go in effect until after the New Year's holiday, and he again encouraged people to stay home tonight. Colorado lawmakers will look at capping the price of insulin when the state legislature convenes next month. The Denver Post reports that a bill will be introduced allowing state residents to buy insulin at the price that the state pays for its employees. If approved, Colorado would be the first state in the nation to set a cap on the price of this critical medication. Mostly sunny skies today, with highs in the mid-40s. Continued mostly sunny on New Year's Day. Highs tomorrow in the low 40s. It's 12 minutes after 8 at listener-supported KGNU. State officials have confirmed at least two Colorado cases of the B117 variant of COVID-19. Both are National Guard members who were sent to help with a staffing shortage at a nursing home in Elbert County. The state's chief medical officer, Dr. Eric Franz, spoke yesterday about this new variant of the virus and what it means for Coloradans.
This variant, as you know, has been found in the United Kingdom. It first appeared in end of September, and it was noted in the southeast part of England that the number of cases was rising quickly in that part of the country. And on further investigation, they found that this new variant seemed to be the dominant form of the COVID virus in that community. From there, they have concluded that this new variant can be transmitted more quickly and more highly. Indeed, estimates of 50 to 70% increased transmission with this new variant. So what does that mean for us? Well, if you get COVID, of course, you can be without symptoms. 40% of people have no symptoms. Or you can have symptoms, a fever, a cough, and it's the same with this new variant. But it does potentially have the risk of spreading more. So if you're ill, instead of only making two or three other people sick, you might actually spread it to four or five people if it's more transmissible. If it's more transmissible, that means that we'll have more cases in our communities. Those community number of cases will rise quickly. And of course, with more cases come more hospitalizations, more ICU beds being filled, and the potential of overwhelming our healthcare system. Imagine, too, if a more transmissible form of COVID is in a nursing home. That means that it might spread more quickly within that nursing home and cause more people ill before we have a chance to get things under control. And what a tragedy that would be when we're just weeks away from vaccinating people who live in nursing homes. Now, if the other thing we're hearing, of course, is that this variant of COVID doesn't seem to be more deadly. So if you get it, you could be asymptomatic with it. You could have symptoms with it. You might be hospitalized or need specialty care, but at the same rate as the old COVID virus. So it doesn't seem like it's more deadly. The worry, of course, is that if it's spreading faster and more people have it, even with just the regular rates of hospitalizations, this could be overwhelming for our healthcare systems. So I think it would be particularly sad at this time in the pandemic when we're working so hard at getting vaccinations in arms and expanding our end game to see the end of this pandemic, to find ourselves in a place where these cases are rising again. That means all of us, as the governor has said, must do our part. We must wear our masks, stay 6 feet apart, stay within our households, particularly over this New Year season. We need to be aggressive with vaccination, following our prioritization. It appears that this vaccine, we estimate, will be just as effective for the new variant as it was with the old. We'll learn more from the scientific work underway. But for now, I think we should continue the hard work of staying safe as part of our preparation of the ending months for this pandemic, doing what we know we need to do to stay safe, and stepping up and being vaccinated. The larger number of people that become vaccinated, the quicker we'll have herd immunity and we'll control the pandemic.
That's the state's chief medical officer, Dr. Eric Frenz, speaking about the new variant of COVID-19 and the need for increased vaccinations. It's 16 minutes after 8 here at listener-supported KGNU. New rules around oil and gas development go into effect in January. This comes after months of debate at the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, the state's regulatory agency, which was tasked with overhauling rules after legislation passed in 2019. One central part of SB 181 was giving local communities more authority to regulate the industry. But as we hear now, two Front Range counties have radically different ideas of what local control means. Maeve Conran reports.
Here, where Weld and Boulder counties meet, it's hard to see where one jurisdiction ends and another begins. It's where Amanda Harper and her family live.
West Weld County looks like eastern Boulder County. It's spacious. There's homes with small farms and large farms. It's a beautiful agricultural area.
Harper and her family moved here because of the landscape, the chance to have a small farm, and the opportunity to live a rural, peaceful life.
You know, we had goats and a cow and milk and chickens and goats and ducks and geese. And that's how we wanted to raise our child, was in an agrarian situation with open spaces and clean air, and you know, it's beautiful out here.
But that peaceful rural life was suddenly interrupted 6 years ago when Harper learned that her idyllic farmhouse would soon be in the midst of an oil and gas development.
Well, when I found out completely haphazardly, that there was going to be a 12-well site placed 1,000 feet west of me, and then another one three quarters of a mile north. I spent 4.5 years trying to fight that through many, many means, going to the Weld County government, going to the Boulder County government.
Harper lives right on the border of Boulder and Weld counties, but her home is just to the east of County Line Road, putting her in Weld County. She soon found out that the different counties have very different attitudes to oil and gas development.
Boulder County is at least trying to do the right thing. They really are. You know, from a climate perspective, from a neighbor perspective, from a bigger picture, they just have a bigger picture, Boulder County does. Weld County has a very narrow picture of oil and gas, like as much as we can now.
Weld is the number one producer of oil and gas in the state. 87% of all crude oil production and 43% of all natural gas production in Colorado comes from Weld, and it welcomes the industry. Boulder County, on the other hand, has tried to stop drilling. Voters in Longmont voted to ban fracking several years ago, something that put them at odds with the state and its previous rules about local control. The differences between Weld and Boulder have become even more apparent in the wake of Senate Bill 181, passed by lawmakers in 2019. Instead of fostering the industry, the mission of the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission is now to regulate it and to prioritise public health, safety and the environment. It also affords local communities more control, something Boulder has tried to enforce in recent years. But that issue of local control is being interpreted in a very different way by Boulder's neighbour to the east. The Weld County commissioners say their interpretation of local control is to allow them to be even more welcoming to the oil and gas industry. Here's Commissioner Barbara Kirkmeyer speaking on the steps of the Capitol in Denver in June 2019.
We are going to force local control back down their throats the same way they forced 181 down our throats. And that would be the Weld County way.
Just weeks later, the Weld County Commissioners approved the creation of the county's Oil and Gas Energy Department with the stated goal of serving residents and the energy industry. Contrast that with Boulder County's attitude to drilling.
Boulder County's approach is to really be protective of the environment and the residents within the county.
That's Dale Case. He heads up Boulder County's Planning and Permitting Department.
The county has been pursuing regulations that really do try to achieve that level of protection.
In December, the Boulder County Commissioners voted to increase setbacks between people and wells to 2,500 feet in most cases. That's even more than the state's new setback standard of 2,000 feet. Weld approved its own setback rules, 500 feet between wells and homes. Dale Case says having a neighbour like Weld County, which has such a different approach to regulation, can create problems.
Oil and gas development has impacts beyond county borders. It doesn't stick within a line like some other types of development, air pollution, water pollution. Those types of impacts are things that don't respect boundaries. And so it does create some issues where you have two different regulatory structures looking at it in different manners.
Amanda Harper says that while she may fall under Weld County regulations, her neighbours just across County Line Road in Boulder County are living through the same problems that she's dealing with.
Those people have the same issues I do, but they're just as victimized by Weld as I am. And I have no more power, even though I live in Weld County, because the way that the system is set up, the systems are all working together to keep oil and gas as an unregulated industry in Weld County.
And the fight is not over. Remember Barbara Kirkmeyer, the Weld County Commissioner we heard from earlier? Well, she herself is headed to the state legislature. She was elected to serve in the state Senate starting in 2021, where she says she'll work to repeal legislation like Senate Bill 181. For KGNU and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Maeve Conran.
8:23 now at listener-supported KGNU. Time for Radio Nibbles with John Lindorf. John Lindorf singing along with Cab Calloway there on the final Radio Nibbles of 2020. John's in his home kitchen in Louisville. And of course, when the year started, John was coming in every week to talk with Maeve here on the Morning Magazine, one of the many things that changed in 2020. And as with many people's predictions, I guess, John, yours didn't really come to fruition. No shame.
No shame. But most of them, including mine, were completely wrong because, well, 2020. So rather than look back at the year that was, I thought we could look forward to what the experts are talking about in terms of dining and grocery shopping and cooking and nutrition in the coming year, which no doubt will be more interesting than we know now.
Let's hope so. Well, 2021 will be a year of cooking more at home, we expect. We are far from the end of this pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, you have to assume that over at least the next 9 months or more, you know. And I think people will continue to focus on home cooking more anyway. There's a lot of meal kits and things that are happening. People are getting bored with their own cooking, so there's a lot more virtual cooking classes, and I think more people are, you know, getting comfortable with online, you know, grocery delivery and that kind of thing.
How does 2021 look for dining out? It's got to be better than 2020.
This is the way it'll go in 2021. It'll start with a lot of yurts, bubbles, tents, and ice fishing shelters, and slowly work its way, you know, inside for a long time, you know, into the new year. We'll be doing takeout and delivery curbside, and continue to urge you to support the eateries that you love, because, you know, many of them are closing and many more will. There is a side effect of all this because of all these drive-ups and disposable containers involved in takeout.
We hope that eateries and eaters can work to be conscious of all the disposable containers and use less of them.
Yes.
I want to ask you about nutrition, health, and wellness. Many people, including Brigitte Mars, who is in this time slot on Wednesdays with her program Naturally, they pointed out that while, of course, wearing masks, washing hands, and social distancing are crucially important, we also need to think about how we can boost our immune system and stay healthy in our diet. Do you think people will be more conscious of that?
I think they're going to be more proactive and more probiotic. It goes without saying right now that anything that boosts immunity and fights inflammation, diets and foods and ingredients are big because people are trying to protect themselves internally. Look for ingredients like turmeric, zinc, ginger, green tea, CBDs to a certain extent, mushrooms, pre and probiotics and fermented things are all in that category.
You and I talk about food every week and often in a lighthearted way and the enjoyment, the pleasure we get from food and from sharing food with others. But the food world has some serious issues to address, starting, I think, with the treatment of workers in the food industry and their health and safety, but also we have the waste issues that you've been trying to address in your recent series on food waste. There are a lot of food justice issues, and of course, people are going hungry in our backyard and around the world. Does 2021 look to be a more conscious time, a more active time for folks to be working on making things better?
Absolutely. I think everyone has to focus on it. This has been a sea change in the food industry, in the restaurant industry, and there's a whole new thing. You know, culinary activism is a real thing, and there'll be a whole new generation of chefs that are going to be focusing on these things. And to me, it's hard not to focus right now on hunger and sustainability and food justice, given what a dire situation it is. So we're going to try to do what we can in the coming year to focus on that.
Let's get back to tasting food. Is our palate changing? Seems like there's always new flavors coming up. Do you have any predictions on flavors of the future?
Pie, you know, I think will be big. These other things are things that experts are saying that people are finally going to discover because, you know, things come into the common taste, you know, that weren't there before, like balsamic vinegar. In any case, they're saying keep an eye out for fermented honey, chicory, sudashi, which is a Japanese citrus fruit, the habanada chili, which is a heatless habanero, wild maki berry, hojicha, if I'm pronouncing it right, roasted green tea, fonio, which is an African grain. Of course, the ever-popular wheat lakoche, which essentially is corn that's gotten infected with a fungus, and it makes it taste great.
Well, what's the best thing you've tasted lately?
I was gifted a great pleasure. A bottle of Leopold Brothers American Small Batch whiskey. It is fundamentally, it's bourbon. It really is lovely. It's not too bourbony. And the Leopold Brothers, of course, work out of Denver. They really do a great job. And Sam, what's the best thing you've tasted lately?
Well, we got takeout last night from Cilantro, which is a Mexican place not far from us in North Boulder. Tacos al pastor, some vegetarian tamales. I got a gordita that was mole. Very good. Really hit the spot on a cold winter night. So take out from Cilantro.
Tamales. I got to get some tamales.
And if there's anything you'd like Radio Nibbles to feature in 2021, reach out to John. His email address is simple, nibbles@kgnu.org. That's nibbles@kgnu.org. Also on the KGNU website, past episodes of Radio Nibbles and his food writing is at his blog, johnlendorf.wordpress.com. Well, thank you, John. We'll talk to you next year.
Happy New Year, everyone. Here's to more fun in 21.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.